Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In fact, those words, Christ is risen, alleluia, are a big part of what we're going to be talking about tonight on Issues Etc. this Easter evening with Dr. Arthur Just. We're going to be studying an Easter hymn from the African continent. It's titled Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Dr. Arthur Just is a regular guest on the program. He's professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the Luke Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. He joins us for this hymn study. By the way, you can study along with us tonight. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find the words to Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. The website address, issuesetc.org. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, Todd. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
We're going to a different continent for this
study.
Yes, we are.
I think it's great. I've been there twice, the last two Junes. I've been to Kenya and the Sudan. And I haven't been to Tanzania, but of course it's right next to Kenya. It's one of the most populated Lutheran countries in Africa, and they have a rich history of hymnody. And I'm so delighted that our new hymnal committee decided to include this in our new worship resource.
So tell us a little bit about the author of this hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia.
Well, I'm going to call him Bernard because I probably can't pronounce his last name properly, but he was a student at Luther Seminary in Makamura, Tanzania, when he wrote this hymn as a student. And he's been a pastor in the North West Diocese of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. And he wrote it in Swahili. It was translated by Howard Olson, who has been a tremendous presence there for the Lutheran Church in terms of leadership there at the seminary and the like. But it's a wonderful, simple text. And I think what you have to understand about the way in which they do this in Africa is that it's always done antiphonally. And basically, the way in which this should be done is where you'd have a cantor, a leader, maybe a choir, singing the main verse and the congregation responding back. And the reason is, as we listen to the hymn, as we hear the stanzas, that's the storyteller, the preacher of the gospel, telling us the story of Easter, reciting the narrative. And the congregation answers spontaneously with the refrain. And so what this really is, it's to be an echo. The congregation is responding in joy to hearing the Easter story. And what always marks African hymns, African song, is the simplicity. And that is really what is so unique about it. And in a way, what we hear here is the echo from a young church that is mission-minded, that has been given the gospel, the word about the risen Savior, and are now responding with great joy at the announcement of the resurrection on Easter morning.
So my producer, Jeff Schwarz, one time or two times on the air, had his little children into our St. Louis studios, and I think Jeff would sing the verse, and then his little children would respond with this refrain, "Let us sing praise to him with endless joy." He was doing it the way it was intended to be done.
That's right. That's right. And when you hear it done that way, it's unbelievable. Now, I will say, our travels there took us to some places where people were really suffering, And I was working with the deaconesses there primarily. So these are women who are visiting widows and orphans, a lot of it because of the HIV crisis there. And I'm telling you, though, their singing is beyond belief. The joy in the midst of suffering that is expressed by their singing. And it's very rhythmic, but it's got a simplicity and a rhythm that is infectious. And their texts are just basically rephrasing and with some interpretation, but basically just telling the story of the scriptures in their own words. And of course, today we're hearing the story of that first Easter morn.
It strikes me that's very much like the early church, when the church begins to craft its Christ hymns and and its earliest hymns, they are simple rephrasings of Scripture's clear teachings.
I think that's right. And what's interesting is the way in which they sing the hymns there is the way the early Christians did the Psalter, because nobody had books, and I think that's the issue in Africa. I mean, many of them certainly know the verses by heart, but the refrains they know, and so they can all sing that together. And it creates a wonderful rhythm, that antiphonal back and forth, that really binds people together as one body in Christ.
Here's the first stanza and refrain of Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Christ has arisen, Alleluia. Rejoice and praise Him, Alleluia. For our Redeemer burst from the tomb, even from death, dispelling its gloom. Let us sing praise to Him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting He has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, Alleluia. Jesus is living, Alleluia. That's the St. Olaf Choir singing Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Let's deal with the word Alleluia first, Dr. Just.
Well, it's the exclamation of Easter, and I think it's important to recognize that when the Church sings this now on Easter, it hasn't done that since the last Sunday of Epiphany. So to hear that for the first time, and oftentimes at the Easter Vigil, you know, in the darkness of the tomb of Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Christ bursting forth, the lights come on, and the Church now announces the great good news that Christ has arisen, and the Alleluias now come back in full force, which is simply an expression of praise and joy and delight that indicates the reversal of death.
This isn't just the what of Easter. This is also the why and the wherefore and the therefore of Easter. It is so simply put, our sins forgiving, Jesus is living. That's really what the Church is all about.
It is. And you know what's so great about that is that's creedal. I mean, if you look at the creed, we confess in the creed the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body. I mean, and those are the two things that we are most concerned with. Our sin is addressed by God's forgiveness, which is clearly ours in the resurrected body of Jesus. And death is addressed by Christ's resurrection. And those are the two things, sin and death, that this hymn addresses, that sins are forgiven, that death has been reversed through Christ's triumph over the grave.
With only about a minute and a half before we take our first break, Dr. Just, the phrase that comes in this refrain is death's fearful sting. That's another scriptural allusion to St. Paul, I believe.
Yes, it is, what in 1 Corinthians 15.
What is the sting of death, and what has Christ done to it?
Well, the sting of death is the ultimate expression of what has happened because of the fall into sin. And death is the ultimate enemy. I mean, in some ways, even more than Satan, because death is, there's a finality to it. And when Jesus died, he indicated that. When he said it is finished, it simply didn't mean that his work was finished, which it did. The work of the new creation is finished. But it was his announcement now that his death was imminent. And I think it's marvelous how this hymn writer, Bernard, has combined the resurrection accounts, particularly in Matthew, and then Paul's refrain about death and its sting has been removed, destroyed. One of the things that we're going to see throughout this hymn is that this writer is very much alive to the fact that when Christ defeats death on the cross, he is defeating a superhuman power. And there is a sense here of the conflict between God and Satan over us, over sin, over death, and how Jesus does conquer and he destroys all our enemies.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest tonight. This Easter evening, we're studying the Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. You can find the lyrics at our homepage, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section, and study right along with us. When we come back, we'll go on to stanza two and talk a little bit more about, I wouldn't call it unfinished business, because Dr. Just has so well put those words of Christ from the cross, it is finished. But Christ has arisen. The head has burst forth from the tomb. His body, the church, awaits its bodily resurrection. We'll talk a little bit about that after this. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief on their upcoming conference, the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd in St. Louis.
Well, it's a first. We're all about helping Christians gain the theological rationale, the practical know-how, the capacity to reach out in love and mercy, particularly as the corporate life of the church and in their families. So this thing has quite an interesting guest list of folks from medicine to public life to churchly institutions to social ministry institutions, congregational life, theologians, and we're looking forward to it.
For more information on the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd in St. Louis, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo right there, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Folks, you don't have to listen to Issues Etc. very long to realize that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners is the driving force of this worldwide outreach. And if you appreciate the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues Etc., please consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible gift. Now, anyone who donates during the Easter season, which, by the way, is the next 7 weeks of celebration, will receive a 2-hour CD with Dr. Norman Nagel on the Passion of Christ and Dr. Arthur Just on the Resurrection of Christ. Now, any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. You can donate by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check, our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Just, before we go to this second stanza, is there unfinished business in the resurrection of Christ? Christ has bodily come forth from the tomb, but we are still waiting for our bodily resurrection that will occur when he returns.
Well, that's true. And in a sense, I suppose you could say that that is unfinished business. But I think it's important to also recognize, and this is the joy of being a Lutheran, is that Christ is always being raised in his body, the church. I mean, that's what our baptism means, that daily we are dying and rising with Christ. And so the resurrection of Christ, and it's a bodily resurrection, because it's in us, in our bodies, because Christ is dwelling among us and dwelling in us. We are always being resurrected in Christ. When we hear his word, when we receive his sacrament, the risen Christ is rising in us. So the resurrection is the ongoing life of his body, the church. Now that body will be completely restored, raised bodily into its perfect state, you know, when he comes again in glory. And that, in that sense, we are waiting for its final consummation. But it has already happened now in Christ. And when you see Christ, you see everything that we are and everything that we will be.
Here is the second stanza and refrain. For 3 long days the grave did its worst, until its strength by God was dispersed. He who gives life did death undergo, and in its conquest his might did show. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. There's the second stanza of Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Dr. Just, this is a simple stanza, but it has some profound mysteries in there that boggle the mind even of the devout believer.
Yeah, it's truth, Todd. It is. I mean, you just roll these words around in your mind and you can see how deep and mysterious, that's a great word, the theology that is here and what this means for us. And I think you can see how important the 3 days are, that he spent those 3 days in the grave, and yet that was the way in which we can see how he conquers everything for us. He actually did die, and he did get laid into a tomb, and that's why the resurrection is so spectacular, because he was there in the tomb dead, and now he has risen. And you can see his strength, as the hymn says. You can see his might did show by his conquering death once and for all. And in order to do that, he had to destroy death by his own death. That's the greatest irony of all, that only in death could he destroy death.
We were recently reviewing a sermon of a very prominent preacher whose name I won't mention. And it was something of an Easter sermon, even though it was not given on the occasion of Easter. And he was talking about the resurrection of Christ, and he was saying how he tried to explain to a Muslim how it is that Jesus could be God and man and yet die. The Muslim could not accept the idea that God could be man or that God could die like Jesus did on the cross. His explanation was, well, the human part died. God did not die. The human body died on the cross, but God did not die. That struck me as somewhat deficient, at least according to what Scripture teaches. How do we sort out the notion that Jesus is both God and man, and God, who is life himself in Christ, suffered death?
Well, you called it a mystery, Todd, and that's what it is. I mean, what we have always confessed is that the person of Jesus and his divine and human nature died. God died. And in that sense, we confess that. How to explain that? I think you just embrace that as mystery. I can't. And I think that person of Jesus, whose divine and human natures are never separated, died and is laid in the tomb. I think if we don't confess that Jesus, the Son of God, died, then there is no confession of the resurrection.
Here is stanza 3 of Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. The angel said to them, "Do not fear. You look for Jesus, who is not here. See for yourselves, the tomb is all bare. Only the grave cloths are lying there. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia."
Do not fear, look for Jesus.
in this stanza, Dr. Just, the hymn writer takes us right into the narrative of Easter morning. With only a minute before our break, your thoughts on this?
You're right. This is where he really does go right to the gospel story itself. And it is it's the third and center verse of the hymn, and in many ways, the proclamation of the gospel. And this has always been the proclamation of the gospel. All three gospels have it. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. See the place where he laid. It is what the angels announced to us as pure gospel. And I love the way in which he frames this. He brings in the fear, which is Matthew, and they are not to fear because even though they're in the presence of this extraordinary thing, God is granting them permission to be here and to witness the empty tomb. The empty tomb is the great proclamation, and the grave clothes, you know, are the sign of the resurrection. The same body that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger as a sign of the incarnation, the same body that was wrapped in these linen cloths after his atonement from death, those now linen cloths just lying there in the tomb, you know, without his body, are the declaration that he has risen indeed. Alleluia.
We're studying the Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He will be speaking on the subject of the foundations of mercy at the LCMS Conference on Mercy later this month. Other speakers at the conference include Issues Etc. regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Beverly Yonke, Larry Rast, Gene Edward Veith, and Uwe Simonetto. We'll be there broadcasting live. Now, for more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd at the St. Louis Airport Marriott here in St. Louis. When we come back from this break, we're going to be listening to the remaining stanzas of Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia, and studying it with Dr. Arthur Just. Christians and Christian publishing spend a lot of time talking about marriage. How does God define marriage? After all, marriage is God's gift. Is marriage whatever we want it to be or whatever we need it to be? What is God's ultimate purpose for marriage? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is called Marriage is Like Dancing. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Richard Iyer. Marriage is Like Dancing is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You can find the book at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Marriage is Like Dancing. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Discover what God's gift of marriage is really all about with our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April by Dr. Richard Iyer, Marriage is Like Dancing.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you. Let me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825. 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Call today.
Dr. Arthur Just on how the Bible is taught at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, the central principle for us in interpreting scriptures is the Christological principle. That is, that we believe, as Jesus says in Luke 24, that all the scriptures speak about him, and that we study the scriptures and teach the scriptures with a focus on Christ. Now, this isn't only Christ who lived and died and rose again a long time ago, but also the fact that through the scriptures, through the living word of God that we hear in our churches, we hear preached, is the means by which Christ continues to be present with us today. And I think what is unique about exegetical theology at our seminary is that we focus not only on what the Scriptures say, but how they continue to be the lifeblood of the Church, because they are the means by which Christ is present to the Church with his gifts. As Luther says, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A happy Easter evening to all of you. We're studying the Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament, dean of the chapel, and director of the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the Luke Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. Dr. Just, let's go straight to stanza four of this Easter hymn. Go spread the news. He's not in the grave. He has arisen, this world to save. Jesus' redeeming labors are done. Even the battle with sin is won. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. The phrase that stands out there, Dr. Just, is Jesus' redeeming labors. It's a graphic image when you think of someone laboring. You think of someone out there toiling, working up a sweat, or a woman in travail in what we call the birth labors. Is that a deliberate picture there for us?
Well, I think it is, because one of the things that I think we proclaim at the resurrection is the fact that the new creation has come. And, you know, there's oftentimes some confusion about the Sabbath and God's work being over. But if you look at John's Gospel, chapter 5, you know, Jesus says, the Father is working still, and so am I working. And Jesus' work is the work of the new creation, setting people free from those things that bind them. And this verse combines, the two great ways in which that bondage manifests itself among us. And that is through sin, which we're bound to sin, and forgiveness is what frees us from our sin. You know, and there you can see the work of Jesus in freeing people from sin culminates at his cross, where he finishes that work. And then the other great burden, the other great bondage we have is death, and he frees us from that as well. His work is completed at the cross. His labors to free us from these horrible things that bind us can only be brought about by his death. And what his resurrection does is it announces that. And it announces it in his body. We see his body broken by death, the nails in his hand, the spear in his side, and the nails in his feet. We see his body that has been crucified now risen. And in his body, we see ourselves. We see what we are already now in baptism, and what we will one day be, as we mentioned earlier, when he comes again in glory.
One of the things that concerns me about Easter and Resurrection Proclamation is it's the resurrection itself as an event distinct from Christ's death and rest in the tomb is often described as a demonstration of something. But is something affected? Does something happen when Christ destroys death in his resurrection? Is it more than a demonstration?
Oh, absolutely. When Christ rises from the dead, he brings all of creation with him and makes it new. I mean, it is in a sense that all of us are buried with Christ in that grave, and all of the cosmos. And when he descends into hell to declare the victory over Satan, and then he rises on the third day, he is bringing all of us with him. So it's more than a demonstration. It is the actual reality that we have now been set free from these powers that enslave us.
Paul talks about Christ being I think he says something like crucified for our redemption, raised again for our justification. Is he making some kind of a distinction there between what is crucifixion and what is resurrection effect?
Well, in a sense, that's right. He is. And I think what you see in using justification language in connection with the resurrection is that there in Christ, the righteous one, who did everything that God called him to do, even unto death, death on the cross, perfectly without sin, then in raising him from the dead, Jesus is declaring to us in his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, that all things have been made new.
We're going to be hearing here in just a moment the fifth and final stanza of Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Dr. Jess, before we hear it, what should we be listening for in this final stanza?
Well, I think you can see here that he does now use the language of freedom. And I think you should see the beautiful declaration of life. Jesus is living. And it is a song of praise now. The praises are now singing forth. And just notice how let us all praise him, let us all sing. The triumph of the grave is there as well. So the victory is being announced. It is the final verse in which all the stops are pulled out and the church rears back in praising Christ and his glorious resurrection.
Here's that fifth and final stanza. Christ has arisen, he sets us free, alleluia, to him praises be. Jesus is living, let us all sing. He reigns, triumphant heavenly King. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy, death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia, Jesus is living, alleluia. Dr. Jess, it's almost like the refrain starts breaking out it already in the stanza. The phrases from the refrain come back into this final stanza. The singers can't wait to sing Christ's praises.
That's a great way of putting it, Todd. It's true. They can't wait for the refrain, so they're going to stick it in this last verse. I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, I think you can feel the momentum of this hymn now coming to this final verse. And exploding in just outright reared back praise for the great gift that God gives us in his resurrected Son.
Is that a picture, in a sense, of how the church celebrates Easter between Christ's bodily resurrection so long ago and the final fruition of that in Christ's return and him raising his church to be with him forever?
I think that's a great way of putting it. You know, in a way, one of the things that we've really lost in our culture, and I'm talking about our church culture, is the fact that Easter isn't just one day. It's 50 days. It's a 50-day feast. And the early Christians, when the praises started on that first day of Easter, on the Easter morning, They didn't stop for 50 days. It was one long feast. And this in a sense is what kicks it off. And it's unfortunate that we don't do that in our culture. I mean, Easter certainly does continue it to a certain extent in our churches, but not the way it was intended to be. And I think what you really see every Sunday is a proclamation of the Easter gospel. Because Sunday is the day of resurrection, which is why we worship on that day. Sunday is the day in which we declare to one another that we have risen in Christ. And that certainly prepares us for when he comes again, and we will be in the resurrected bodies that he has prepared for us. This is also a sense of what the Song of Heaven is. Because there we will praise God forever and ever, because he has conquered death with his death.
Dr. Just, before we go to this break, you're the director of the Deaconess Studies Program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. What in the world is a deaconess?
Hey, that's a great question, and it's great that you should ask it when we're studying this African hymn, because I've had such wonderful experiences with the deaconesses in Africa. A deaconess is a woman who serves God by serving the people of God with works of mercy and charity. And, you know, we've been talking about the resurrection of the body. The body is important. People's human care needs are important. And the church has always recognized that, because we are a church that confesses the significance of the incarnation, that God became flesh, and that we take seriously the very needs of the flesh that people have. These are sanctified women, theologically trained women, women who can teach, women who are particularly suited for working with children and women in terms of issues that women face in our culture and in other cultures. They really help the baptized in their life of mercy, in which they express Christ's presence in the world in works of love. So they embody Christ's love. They embody his mercy by reaching out to those who are broken and helping them be healed, both physically and spiritually.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies Program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, give them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can look for the Concordia Theological Seminary logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to hear the entire hymn and get some final thoughts from our guest, Dr. Arthur Just. The hymn for this Easter evening, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Before we get those final thoughts, he is hailed in this last stanza as King. Can we truly understand what it means that Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, apart from his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection? We'll be right back. Dr. Arthur Just on what a young man will find every summer at Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It really does put him in touch with, first of all, a community of people here who love the Scriptures, who worship together, who pray together, and who enjoy, have fun, you know, doing theology. There's just a wonderful excitement and passion for the gospel that is expressed by them. But it is a way of a young man to shape his identity as one who is in Christ and to learn the Scriptures and have a real passion for the gospel.
For more information about Christ Academy, June 17th through the 30th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron,
$200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our conversation on the Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called Marriage is Like Dancing. There are a lot of analogies that we can use for marriage, and dancing is probably as good as any other. It's two people together, moving together, living together in love and faithfulness and commitment for life, as God intended it. Now, this book approaches marriages as a God's gift, something that God defines for us rather than something we define for ourselves. For more information on marriages like dancing, you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover of Marriage is Like Dancing at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Just, that final stanza hails Jesus as heavenly king. Can we understand Jesus as king apart from his death, burial, and resurrection?
No, we can't, Todd. And this is, again, one of the great beauties of the Gospels themselves, in that they show that Jesus is a king when he is coronated on the cross with a crown of thorns. And there is his kingdom. When he is lifted up on that cross, as St. John's Gospel says, there you see the glory of God. There you see God's kingdom in all its suffering and yet also in all its glory. And that is what is so hard for any human culture to grasp, that God shows himself in his fullest way, in the deepest, most darkest of sufferings, in the humiliation of the cross. His kingdom is a cross, and it is from that cross that he reigns. And this is the great ambiguity, kind of the great tension, that sense that we live now still under the cross, and yet he has defeated that cross by rising from the dead. So even though our mortal bodies sin, get sick, and die, we still, because Christ dwells in us and his resurrected flesh is joined to our broken flesh, we now experience in our life in this world the wonderful joy of knowing that Christ has conquered our enemies for us. In a sense, what Jesus does in his resurrection is show us what true human beings look like. That is, those who are perfect in every way, and who have gone through suffering as the means towards proclaiming God's glory. And when we are joined to his flesh by baptism, when we become like him, then we become fully human as he intended us to be. Because once we're joined to Christ, we never die. We get death over with in baptism to rise to a life that never ends.
Here's the entire Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia.
Let us sing praise to him with tender song.
Easter hymn, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. We've been studying it tonight on Issues Etc. with Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, your Easter message to our listeners on this Easter evening?
One thing we didn't point out in the hymn, and I think this would be a great way to end, is the fact that the Easter message of the resurrection of Jesus sends us out to tell this good news. And that just simply follows the narrative, the gospel story of Matthew 28. Go tell the disciples in Galilee. And that's what happens. Jesus goes to Galilee, and the Great Commission of sending people out into the world to declare that the world has been made new through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what the Easter message propels us to do. This is the greatest good news that there is. There is no greater news than this, that the grave has been conquered. And I think that one of the great aspects of our Easter hymnody is that it embraces, in all its fantastic mystery, the wonderful, wonderful news that Christ has risen. Alleluia.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. 1-800-737-0172. By the way, as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you a two-hour CD on the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. You can also donate by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, no gift is too small. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Arthur Justice, Professor of New Testament, Dean of the Chapel, and Director of the Deaconess Studies Program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke, and the Luke Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. Dr. Just, it's been a pleasure with you this Easter evening, and a blessed remainder of the Easter to you. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Yes, a blessed Easter to you, Todd. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
I remember as a parish pastor coming to Easter Sunday many years, thinking to myself, what am I going to say this Sunday? It's Easter. After all, what else is there to preach on Easter but the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And it's kind of like Christmas. Pastors stand in the pulpits and they wonder, what am I going to say? Everybody knows this. Everybody knows what I'm going to say. Can I possibly say anything different than has been said before about this subject, Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I remember having that angst before preaching on Easter for many years until an older pastor pointed something out to me. He said, well, what are you preaching every other Sunday of the year? And I said, well, I'm preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. And he said, so why do you have a problem on Easter with what you're going to preach? Your people should know what you're going to say every time you step into the pulpit. They should know that you're going to say that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, the kind of Savior that Jesus is, a dying and rising Savior. And I never worried from that point on what I was going to preach on Easter morning, or any other Sunday for that matter, because that is the only message that the Church has for a dying world, is a dying and rising Jesus Christ for us sinners. The Christ who conquers death with his death, and who rises from the grave in his body, incorporates us through baptism into his body, and promises that on the last day he will raise us with him. I'm Todd Wilkin. Blessed Easter. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how, in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that is sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.